Thank you all for coming. I appreciate you coming to this. I had expected to be at the Public Service Commission this morning at 11 to testify. That would have been the end of a week-long effort to testify before the PSC that I'll show you. We'll get you a copy of the chronology. A week ago today, we requested the lawyer for the state, the Attorney General, that he allow me to testify to information that I believe is relevant to the rate case that impacts ratepayers. And Mr. Nixon has, in three or four correspondence, refused to allow that. The most recent correspondence, our request on Monday, he has not responded at all. Monday, the PSC agreed to have me testify at 11 o'clock. The Chief Administrative Law Judge did that. She told us that clearly, committed to it. And sometime yesterday, something changed at the PSC at their noon agenda meeting. And I don't know what it is, but now there are an awful lot of people. First, it's Ameren and the Attorney General that don't want this testimony out, so I'm happy to be here with you to share it. I would like to read to you a significant portion of the testimony, and then I'll take your questions after that. So first, this is my statement that would have been delivered to the Public Service Commission. I am testifying today because I have information that I believe is relevant to the Public Service Commission and this rate case. I believe that Ameren has not been forthcoming with the public and the PSC to the detriment of the ratepayers. I further believe that Attorney General Nixon has acted in violation of ethical and legal guidelines, having solicited campaign contributions from Ameren while serving as the criminal prosecutor in the Ameren case. On Friday, September 1st, I began serving as Chief of Staff to Governor Matt Blunt. During the following 4 to 5 weeks, I met extensively with legislators, cabinet directors, business leaders, activists, staffers, and members of the press, many of you. I quite literally, and I mean this literally, met with any person who requested a meeting. These meetings were an introduction of me, a relative newcomer to state government, to those who work in and around state government. Sometime during the week of September 3, I was contacted by Drew Duncan, a government affairs specialist, relations professional for Ameren UE. Mr. Duncan requested an opportunity to introduce me to his boss, Stephen R. Sullivan, the general counsel of Ameren. I agreed, and that meeting was scheduled for September 11, 2006. On September 11th, I met with Mr. Duncan and Steve Sullivan in the governor's office, just right next to here. The governor was not present. Also present were Chairman Jeff Davis of the PSC and local businessman Tony Feather. The meeting served as an introduction to Ameren UE and the utilities industry. At no time during this meeting were the specifics of the rate case or the Tom Salk matter discussed. Rather, Steve Sullivan talked about Ameren, introduced me to the company, and otherwise sought assurances from me that I would encourage a good relationship with Ameren and the state and progress in the Tom Salk matter. Mr. Sullivan also complained that he did not get along with Department of Natural Resources attorney Kurt Schaefer. A few minutes into the meeting, I stopped Mr. Sullivan and told him that, though I was happy to meet with him, I trusted neither him nor Ameren. He was surprised and asked why. I told him I thought Ameren had done a terrible job with the summer windstorm in St. Louis, where I lived, and that the issues of the Nixon contributions deeply concerned me. He paused, and then he asked me if I wanted to know what happened with the Nixon contributions. I nodded. He then said, Nixon called and asked for the contributions to be sent to the 4 legislative committees. Sullivan said Ameren cut the checks and sent them out as soon as possible. Sullivan told me he knew that Nixon would make sure the checks got where they were supposed to go. I asked him only one more question. Was Nixon already the criminal prosecutor when he called and asked for the contributions? Sullivan said that Nixon was the criminal prosecutor and that Ameren felt that they had to give. His exact words, as I recall them, were something like, quote, what would you do, I'd say, if you got that call, end quote. Then he was silent, as was I. Mr. Sullivan broke the silence and said repeatedly, we didn't break the law, explaining only that Ameren sent the money to committees who sent it on to Nixon. I left the meeting shocked at what I had heard and with a newfound understanding of how intimidated Ameren was by Nixon's actions. After all, anybody knows that law enforcement cannot take money or gifts from suspects or investigative targets. Everyone knows that it is wrong for a police officer or deputy to take money at a traffic stop. After all, we all know that the prosecutor in a case cannot ask the target of the investigation for money. I was shocked. I'm skipping some of the testimony. You can read it. We'll get you copies of this. I'm reading from it so that you can have what I would have said today. And I would have said everything that I'm reading and written. And I would have also, of course, taken cross-examination from Amron and anything else anyone else wants to take. And I would have done it under oath with all the penalties that go with being under oath. And I'll do that as soon as asked, in any forum asked. Over time, I became increasingly frustrated with Mr. Sullivan and his apparent unwillingness to confront the Attorney General's inappropriate behavior. During this time, Sullivan repeatedly told me how worried Amron was about criminal charges and the power that Nixon was exercising over them. Sullivan made clear, again and again, that no settlement was possible until Nixon signed off on the criminal charges because Amron's insurance companies would not pay for the Tom Salk settlement or the rebuild in that case. Sullivan acknowledged that Amron was being pressured, but despite my encouragement, Sullivan refused to confront Nixon or seek other help. Also, we, meaning this office, had a repeated problem with Mr. Sullivan's conduct. He reported confidential conversations between Amron and the state to others, and after giving me his word that he would not do so, held secret meetings with the Attorney General or his staff. At that time, when we had problems with Sullivan, late fall, I was introduced to Mr. Warner Baxter, a president of Amron and Sullivan's boss. Baxter agreed that Sullivan was not helpful at this time and designated himself as the point of contact for me and for our negotiations regarding Tom Salk. I met Baxter at the downtown Missouri Athletic Club sometime in late October in St. Louis, and we established an instant rapport. Over the following weeks, Mr. Baxter and I set about moving the Tom Salk settlement forward. We worked through issues surrounding the damages and found common ground. We both utilized outside experts who gave us comfort that the terms we sought were good for all parties. At all points in this process, the Attorney General's office and the Missouri Department of Conservation were informed about our progress because I had agreed that they were entitled to all information. Conservation because they had some interests in the case, and the Attorney General because he remains today the criminal prosecutor. Also, Baxter made clear, as Sullivan had, that Amron was deeply concerned about the criminal matter and Nixon's role in that. A criminal charge, again, had the possibility of causing, state again, a loss of insurance coverage, and Nixon was not communicating to them about the criminal charge. Amron felt pressured by Nixon. There's a lot in there. A few weeks ago, Richard Mark, an Amron vice president, stated publicly for the first time that Amron was contacted by the Attorney General or his staff. His statement, saying only that someone at Amron was contacted by someone from the Attorney General's staff, contradicts what Steve Sullivan told me. Mark may simply be trying to parse words and dance around the truth. What I know is this: what Nixon or his staff did has had a direct impact on Amron and this rape case. And it's wrong and inappropriate for a prosecutor to request money from the target of an inquiry. Even in the past few days, the Attorney General and his staff have acted inappropriately in attempting to keep the truth covered up. As I sought an opportunity to testify before the PSC, the Attorney General, as the attorney for the state, mind you, refused his client's request to testify. His delays were inappropriate, and he sought a kind of discovery of me that resembled what an adversary might seek. His questions were like those that Amron might have asked. In short, the Attorney General's conduct in this matter has been detrimental to the rate case before you. I am concerned that the rate payers will bear the burden of this conduct. This is unacceptable, and this is why I'm here. Finally, I feel some regret that I did not speak out on September 12, 2006, and every day since, regarding the actions of the Attorney General and the impact on Amron. I sincerely believed then that Amron and the state could move forward and make things right. I believed that the Attorney General would not block progress and, having acted inappropriately, that he would stay away from this case. I was wrong, and it became clear 2 or 3 months ago that Amron was not moving forward as a direct result of Nixon's actions, and that this had a likelihood of substantial prejudice to the interest of ratepayers. Over the past month, I have sought answers to many of the questions and issues surrounding Nixon and Amron, usually in writing. To all of my inquiries to Nixon or his staff and to Ameren officials, I have not received a single answer, not one. Today, I have told the truth and told of my concerns that Nixon's actions and Ameren's inactions have impacted ratepayers. I respectfully request that this body seek the testimony of Steve Sullivan, Warner Baxter, Jeremiah Nixon, and any of Nixon's staff who were involved in this matter so that the truth of this important matter is more clearly known. I thank you for this opportunity to testify. I do have, you'll get this chronology of the events, which will show you what we requested in terms of trying to testify before the PSC. Again, my concern and the reason I'm very grateful that you're here is so far what I just stated there has not been entered into the rate case and has not been given an opportunity for the PSC to understand it and know what's going on and understand that impact, the impact that it has on the case, impact that it could have, and make that judgment. So with that, I will be happy to take questions.
Why isn't your testimony anything other than hearsay involving a conversation that no other party has come forward about, and we have no way of verifying? You said you're telling the truth, but we have no way of verifying it.
Well, I have two answers. One, I'm willing to go under oath, which means that I'm willing to put myself in a position to say that what I'm saying is true. Second, you all, I think, as playing a role in this democracy and in the state, have the right and the opportunity to ask the Attorney General, Steve Sullivan, and the others about those facts, as does the Public Service Commission. It is the Public Service Commission, like any other tribunal, court or otherwise, and the Public Service Commission functions like a court, to look into facts and make those judgments. If the PSC wants to say that, you know, I'm not being truthful enough or that it's not relevant enough, that's their judgment. But right now we have a wholesale cover-up and hiding from the truth by Nixon and by Ameren. And that can't be good for ratepayers. It can't be.
I'm not clear on this. How does this relate to the rate case? What is the direct impact?
The direct impact is that Ameren, who is applying for a rate increase, has indicated to me that they were coerced over the last year or so based on the actions of the Attorney General. The direct impact I see is that the TomSoc settlement and the TomSoc rebuild, which those numbers get into hundreds of millions of dollars, would impact the rate base. And my understanding from Ameren is that the reason that they were rebuilding and trying to rebuild quickly was to improve the ability of Ameren to provide power to Missourians in that district, because TomSoc would be a power plant sooner. But the truth of the matter is, again, I leave it to the PSC and to others to judge how relevant it is. But simply put, when the criminal prosecutor has coerced my testimony, what I've said is Ameren has told me that they had to change how they would have acted. And it's hundreds of millions of dollars. And if that doesn't affect the rate case, I'm surprised, but I believe it's worth the PSC noting. And so far, Ameren and the Attorney General are refusing to answer the questions about it. So,
are you saying that the governor does not support rate increase for Ameren?
I am not speaking here today on the governor's behalf.
Well, are you saying the governor does the governor support a rate increase for Ameren?
I am not speaking here about the governor's opinion on the rate case. What I will say is what the governor said before, which is we have concerns about how Ameren has acted, and we're very concerned about Ameren seeking a rate increase with the problems that they've had, and I think in light of this testimony. But we are not making a statement on the rate case today.
Well, I can see how the storm, all the criticism over the storm, how that stuff was handled, various things. I can see how that is relevant to the rate case, but I don't see how
I don't know what else to tell you. If you have a multi-billion-dollar corporation who the top-level people will tell you that they are being coerced by the Attorney General of a state and they're not able to move their company forward, if that doesn't have an impact on decisions they're making, I don't know. I mean, that's a judgment I guess you're making. But what I'm saying is the public deserves to know, and the Public Service Commission deserved to allow me to tell them that, and the Attorney General blocked it. I don't know why. And Ameren is refusing to comment. I know why, because they're afraid of that. And, you know, I mean, that's again, I know what I can say is the truth, and I'm willing to put my hand up and testify to it, and others aren't and are afraid, and that's not my problem. What my concern is ratepayers. I happen to be, in my old home in St. Louis, an Ameren utility owner, it's expensive. Your electric bills are expensive. And I want everybody to know what's going on, and I think they deserve to.
And who appointed Jeff Davis as the chairman of the commission?
I think that Jeff Davis, from recollection, I believe Jeff Davis is holding appointee to the commission and then was reappointed by the governor and made chairman. That's right.
By Governor Blunt?
Yes, sir.
Governor Blunt has received contributions from Ameren, correct?
I don't know that. What I know from the press
Ameren
is...
Ameren confirms that they've given it.
Yeah. What I know from the press is that... And I just don't know on the campaign side. But again, what I would tell you is we're very careful. It's hard. The governor is an elected official, as are others. But the categorical difference, which I know people understand, is law enforcement and the prosecutor can't do that to you. There's a difference for a reason. And
would you argue also that a regulator... I mean, Jeff Davis is a regulator appointed by this governor,
yep,
whose brother worked for Ameren,
uh-huh,
who's taking money from Ameren.
Uh-huh.
The only difference is the coercion from Nixon. And if there was coercion from Nixon to Ameren, isn't that a crime? And why haven't we gone to prosecution?
Well, there's like seven questions in there, but I guess...
We can go back over
them.
Yeah,
if you want to go back, why don't you go back over them? Because we've got covered that ground. Governor
that would be
Blunt.
Matt Blunt.
Governor Matt Blunt. Well, Holden appointed him. Governor Matt Blunt reappointed him, right.
As the chairman.
As is correct, yes.
So he's...
We've got that, yes.
He's big there.
I think that the chairman is the lead person there, I suppose, but they're first among equals, I think they would try to tell each other. So I got the first question. What else?
How much money did Matt Blunt get from Ameren?
I have no idea.
But he did get money.
I don't know that. I know the press has covered that, but I don't know what that happened. I do know that the governor has never been the prosecutor of a case that faced a target and asked them for contributions. That is at least unethical and probably... may rise to a level of a crime.
Up to 6 months ago, the governor's brother worked for Ameren as mm-hmm. a lobbyist mm-hmm. here
yep.
in Jefferson City.
I know Andy Blunt lives here, yes.
Right. And he worked for Ameren. So the only difference between Matt Blunt and Jay Nixon when it comes to campaign contributions is coercion.
Well, there's really two differences, I think. I mean,
okay.
the first difference is the attorney general was the criminal prosecutor calling a target of a criminal inquiry. You know, we were in law school together. You know there is laws in place and ethical guidelines in place when you're that. So that's the first thing. The second difference is, as an elected official, all these elected officials, the building's full of them, they have to deal with campaign finance rules and campaign finance laws. And I'm not the person that does that for Governor Blunt. But what I do know is what Ameren told me with regard to campaign finance was something that was inappropriate. That's the truth.
I'm speaking for the public.
Okay.
They're not here at this meeting.
Well, you guys count as a public.
The public is going to say, well, you got on one hand you got Jay Nixon doing X, and the other hand you got Matt Blunt doing X, and neither one of those guys are doing good when it comes to Ameren. Are you running the risk of angering the electorate and the ratepayers by raising these issues constantly?
I don't really understand that the premise of your question. The fact is that ratepayers right now
are going to get hurt in this deal are the ratepayers.
Not
Ed Martin.
Well,
not
I'm a ratepayer.
Not Jay Nixon. Yeah, you're a ratepayer, so am I. But I'm saying is in the totality of the circumstance, it's the ratepayers. You're looking at, what, $360 million rate increase from Ameren.
Right, but but here's my point. I'm concerned that the ratepayers are not having a case considered that has all the facts out there and that impact them. So I'm saying this is...
Is one of the facts that Matt Blunt's brother worked for Ameren UE?
Yeah, but that doesn't...
Matt Blunt took money and Matt Blunt appointed...
That doesn't impact this rate case. I mean,
of course it does.
It's not. It doesn't impact... I mean, I'm telling you the truth about Ameren's relationship with Nixon. I don't know anything about what you're...
Now, you have a responsibility to do that, though, don't you?
Now, Ameren, I mean, fair or unfair, Ameren, Mark told me specifically that what happened to them is not what you say happened to them.
I know what Steve Sullivan told me. I know what Richard
Sullivan
Mark...
Sullivan denies saying that.
I've never heard Sullivan denied. I've asked him repeatedly. I've asked Warner Baxter. And Richard Mark is somebody who Ameren told me not to talk to because they told me that he had some issues. That's what Warner Baxter told me. So all I know is that everybody was... He's the president of Ameren. So
Yeah. I mean, so Warner Baxter...
Warner Baxter told me...
He's the COO.
Or the COO.
He's the COO.
Not
yes, right.
Mark. And what did Baxter tell you? Did Baxter tell you then?
Baxter's never told me. He never answered the question either about who called or how the money came.
Why does the public think that you're acting on Governor Blunt's political behalf to trash the Attorney General's reputation and his ability to be the elected Attorney General for political gain in a governor's race that is still 18 and a half, 19 months away?
Mm-hmm. Well, I leave you guys and the public to make those judgments. What I'll say is the Attorney General is an elected official who has a duty to act in certain ways required to. And from what Ameren has told me and what I've seen, he has not acted appropriately. That's my testimony. Again, that's what I'm trying to put out there to the PSC so they have all the facts for this rate case.
The PSC is headed by Jeff Davis.
Uh-huh.
Diamond Wheel Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Can't he decide whether to put you before the commission? Is it the fact that they haven't done that reflective of the fact that perhaps they don't consider your testimony? Right?
They have never told me that. And they have never told me that, and they have never seen or heard my testimony. So they can't.
Of them saying anything. Regardless of whether they told you anything, the fact that they say they're meeting on Thursday, perhaps to consider whether, if at some point, you will be allowed to testify.
Tim,
doesn't that say whether?
You're skipping a point. They have never seen what my testimony would be. So the idea of them making a judgment yesterday, Monday, their chief administrative law judge said, based on what she knew, I should testify, and then something happened in the intervening 24 hours that changed that. So
don't they know everything that
I don't think
the law judge knows?
Well, I don't know, but the administrative law judge doesn't know everything in my testimony.
For some reason, they're deciding that evidently maybe your testimony is relevant, maybe it's not, right? Did you see that?
I have no idea. You'd have to ask them. I think you should.
Is it the main issue that you have not been a party to a case that's been going on for 4 weeks? And
cases.
You in to testify now as a non-party would bend their normal rules of operation?
My understanding from our lawyers is actually the rate case has been going on for 10 months or so. The hearings have been going on for 4 weeks. My understanding from our lawyers is that it's completely appropriate, and actually the state is a party to the case. Our attorney happens to be Attorney General Nixon, so we made what is an appropriate request of the attorney, and he refused.
As you say, this may rise to a level of a criminal act. Why haven't you gone to state or federal prosecutors?
Well, I have that. If you heard my testimony, I'm troubled by it. In the testimony, which I don't think I read, immediately after I heard that from Steve Sullivan, I actually talked to my general counsel and inquired about whether I had an affirmative duty to do that, and I made the decision at that time that I didn't, and my hope was that we would get past it.
Doesn't the federal misprison law impose an obligation to go to law enforcement authorities?
I don't believe so, and I don't think I have enough information to know whether or to reasonably believe a crime has been committed. What I know is... Look, you're parsing words. Here's what I've said. Steve Sullivan and Jay Nixon can answer that question for you. I don't know if I have enough information to say there was a crime or not. What I do know is I saw conduct that's questionable, and no one has answered the questionable conduct. And I saw Steve Sullivan. Excuse me. I saw Steve Sullivan told me. I heard of it. And more importantly, I have actively tried to put the truth out. But I don't ask Steve Sullivan and Attorney General Nixon what's going on and see.
Jay Nixon is a licensed attorney. Have you filed a complaint with him?
I have not. I have not.
Why not?
I have. It's something that people consider. I have not done that. It's not. I don't think it. Again, I think it's. Can ask Nixon and Sullivan about what they did. I haven't felt that obligation or that.
You were prepared to testify at the Public Service Commission today that the Attorney General, a licensed attorney, coerced somebody that he might be considering criminal prosecution charges against. Mm-hmm. You don't think that is relevant to the Office of Chief Disciplinary Counsel to investigate?
Well, again, my point in testifying today, trying to testify today, was to make the point about what ratepayers need to know. I have not made a decision. I've not thought about whether it's my obligation or even appropriate for me to file that. But again, there's lots of other people that can make that judgment. Steve Sullivan's an attorney. Jay Nixon's attorney. There's a lot of people. But my point today was testifying was to let the public and the ratepayers and the PSC know what I knew.
Shouldn't a prosecutor take aside your allegations of fundraising for a moment? As prosecutor, shouldn't the Attorney General take the time he and his staff need to determine whether or not criminal conduct occurred that is chargeable?
Sure.
And what prosecutor tells the potential chargee what they're looking at?
What?
Because part of your comment was that they haven't communicated with Ameren about what's going on.
No, that's not my comment at all. I've not said that I have any knowledge that Ameren or others asked Nixon about whether the, whether they were going to be charged. What they've said is, until with it hanging over their head, and most prosecutors will communicate about, you know, timing and doing an investigation. And more importantly, again, you've tried to bypass with the premise of your question. The fact is, the Attorney General is and was the prosecutor, and when you are the prosecutor in a case, you cannot act the way he did. And so maybe there's a, maybe there's an explanation, but nobody's given it yet. And until, you know, I think what you guys need to know, and this may be the last thing I'll say, is I think that today Jay Nixon needs to answer your questions. He won't answer mine. He won't answer anybody else's. He won't, as far as I can see, maybe today he's changing it. He'll talk to the press. But you all need to ask him today, why did he not let me testify? What is his problem with that? What did he know and when did he know it? What did he know happened to Ameren? How did, you know, what's he done to make sure that his campaign doesn't do this? Is there an explanation? These questions he hasn't answered. And as, because he didn't answer them, Ameren was in a place where they felt, and as they indicated to me, felt coerced. And I think that's troubling. How can what? He refused to file a motion. I mean, we asked him to file a motion to allow us to testify before the PSC as the attorney for the state, and he said, I refuse to. And he came up with a number of reasons. First, he said, I need to see your testimony in writing. We produced that. He said, well, I don't think the testimony is relevant. We said, look, you're our attorney. We think you ought to put this to the PSC and let them make the call. He refused that. Then he said that, you know, he waited until 4:45 on Friday. Look, again.
But he refused to represent you in that action.
Exactly.
So you can certainly go around that.
And we did. And
but is it the fact that
so
the PSC,
how did he go around it?
We went around that by the general counsel of the governor's office contacting the PSC and saying, we can't get a response from our attorney. We're trying to put something. This guy has some information we think may be relevant. You're the ones that get to say whether it's relevant. And the PSC said, you're right. You should be allowed to, and come on Wednesday at 11, and something in the last 24 hours changed.
When did I find out that?
I don't care.
Do I have any? No, I have, and I apologize for that. I think it's a, but I have the attorney, the general counsel, Henry Herschel, speaking to the chief administrative law judge. You know, you all know, I think, and I'm a little disappointed because I would have liked an email or something, but the conversation between two counsels in this case, and I, you know, again, if that's going to be the issue, if the PSC is going to say that we made it up or something, we've got bigger issues at the PSC than anything.
Testifying as witness for whom? The public counsel?
On behalf of the public, we were trying to say we want to testify on behalf of the state as a client, as the party to it. So, you know.
Are we testifying on behalf of the state?
Well, the point we made at the PSC was we are a party to this action, as OA and DED are represented in such, and this information they were saying is relevant. Now, I've said I'm trying to get the information out for the public's protection. I think technically we're testifying as the party to the case.
Did you contact the public counsel's office to request?
That's not, according to the general counsel and the public and the PSC, we talked to them. That was not who they recommended we talk to. They said the,
so they
since we're a party, we never talked to them. We never talked to them. I can't say that. That's not accurate.
On legal advice, you didn't, I hear you saying you didn't consult the public counsel.
No, our general counsel called the PSC, and the PSC told us, we explained to them what was going on, and we said, we want to try to get this testimony in, and they gave us that course of action. It was never, you have to try to imagine the scenario. I think it's a bit Byzantine at the PSC, but the Office of Public Counsel represents the public. It doesn't represent the state. The state is represented by the AG. So you can't really, when you're a party to a case, ask one of the other lawyers in the case to represent you. That was not, and PSC backed that up. They said, yeah, you can't do that. So
why didn't Ed Martin, citizen, who pays Ameren bills in St. Louis, and I presume pays them here in
Washington
City,
I do,
go to public counsel and say, I'm a citizen who also happens to be a lawyer?
Well, because all of
testimony needs to go in.
Because all of what I was doing and all of my information I have was as chief of staff and employee of the state, and we already had, you know, the case was already being represented by Nixon to represent the state. So, I guess I could have as an individual. But again, that seemed to me to be something of a stretch. My concern was based on having been chief of staff and having interacted with them in that official capacity. So, anybody else? Okay, thanks.